All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 24, as we attempt to finish out 1 Corinthians. Next week, Lord willing, we'll start 2 Corinthians. As I told you last week, my favorite book in the Bible. I guess everybody has their favorites. There's some tremendous scriptures in the Bible, but 2 Corinthians is the book that I went through before I received Christ, not remembering anything that the teacher taught. But having gone through it after being saved, some tremendous, tremendous scriptures in 2 Corinthians. But for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 24. Beginning of verse 13, reading. Watch. The present tense, imperative, command, verb. Be continually watching. Stand firm in the faith. Be men. Some translated act as men. But it means for a man, a male in gender, to face life with courage because of Christ. Be men. Be strengthened. Notice the literal translation, because this is a passive voice. It means to be the recipient of strength. Be strengthened. It doesn't mean to be strong. It means be strengthened. Let all of your things be done in love. The word love is the word agape. Verse 15. Now I encourage you, brothers. You have known the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have appointed themselves for ministry to the saints. Some English translations have, they've devoted themselves. But literally, they have placed themselves in a position for the ministry to the saints. In order that also you might submit to such ones, and to everyone who is joining in the work and laboring. And I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because these have filled up what was lacking with you. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore recognize such ones. The churches of Asia are greeting you. And just for your benefit, aspazo is the word for greeting in Greek. It also is a salutation. It's both a greeting, it's both the way to say hello and the way to say goodbye. The churches of Asia are greeting you. Aquila and Priscilla are greeting you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All of the brothers are greeting you. Greet one another in a holy kiss. The salutation, same word, except it means sign off. The salutation is with my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, and the word love is the word phileo here, not the word agape, the word phileo that has to do with affection. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Those are two Aramaic words. Anathema means cursed. Something that has been sacrificed to Satan and is not acceptable to God. If anybody does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be a curse. Let him be an offering to Satan. And then what is interesting, the word Maranatha, Maran and Atha, two words actually. Mar means Lord, on means our in Aramaic, and Atha means come. As a matter of fact, you'll see, those of you that are following along in the interlinear in the Greek text, there's actually two versions. The first one in the King James Textus Receptus says, Maran and Atha. That's the perfect tense word. Literally, the Lord has come. In the Scriptures, it uses perfect tense when it talks about the Lord drawing near. The Lord has drawn near to the biblical writers. The Lord is already on His way. In fact, He has come. That's how soon He's coming. The other tense, Maranatha, which is in the manuscripts outside of the Textus Receptus, that is the invocation. Our Lord, come. The King James one for the Textus Receptus is, Our Lord has come, or Our Lord comes. So Paul is saying, if anybody does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, have a family affection for Him, let him be accursed. The Lord is coming. Verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice this translation, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. All English translations say, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, as if it's a type of prayer or desire. But in the Greek text, it is a factual statement. The grace of the Lord is with you. Verse 24, my love, Paul's love, agape, my love is with all of you in Christ Jesus, amen. Again, a factual statement. He's not saying, may my love be with you. He's saying, my love is with all of you in Christ Jesus. It is a factual statement. There are three sections in our text for today. Very beautiful text. Verses 13 and 14, the five commands that summarize everything Paul has said in his letter. The five commands, verses 13 and 14, which Paul gives to summarize his message in 1 Corinthians. Verses 15 through 18, the five commendations. And verses 19 through 24, the five closing statements, all starting with the word greeting or salutation. First of all, verses 13 and 14, the five commands that Paul gives in signing off, in summary of his letter. The first word is the word watch. Again, a present tense verb that means be continually watching. Be continually on guard. It is opposite from the Greek word for sleep. So it means be awake. Be alert. Be watchful. Jesus used it in Mark 14:38 when he was with the disciples in the garden and Jesus was praying and they kept falling asleep. He told them, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation, because the flesh is weak but the spirit is prepared. So he was warning them because they kept falling asleep, and he was saying that that's a type of spiritual slumber that you can find yourself fall into. You need to be watching. You need to be praying. You need to be on guard. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter says, be watchful. Be sober. Your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So be sober-minded. Be alert. Notice what's happening to you. Satan is roaming around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So be on guard. We know from that 1 Peter chapter 5 text that he's making reference to the fact that Satan's only weapon against a believer is distraction, to occupy the attention of the mind. We don't have to do battle with him in order to stay with Christ. Our battle is his distractions, the things that he uses from this earthly life to cause us to be occupied with, to take our attention away from Christ. So be watching. Be alert. Paul says in Romans 14 that now it is high time to arise out of sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Redeem the time. Be watchful. Don't be spiritually lazy. Be on guard. Notice what's happening. The second command in verse 13 is stand firm in the faith. I mentioned this the first hour, and we've talked about it before, so how important it is that once you receive Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to fight to get our way to somewhere. There's nothing to claim. There's nothing to work for. Once a person has received Christ, you are now in Christ, and the Scripture tells us to stand. Stand firm. What Satan is going to be trying to do is to occupy and distract you and cause you mentally and emotionally to drift away from the focus of your true position, which is always spiritually in Jesus Christ. You are never out of Jesus Christ. You are always in Christ. And Christ is always in you. Stand firm in the faith, in the trust of who Jesus is, what He has done for us, and who we are in Christ. Stand firm. 1 Peter 5:9, back to that 1 Peter 5 text. 1 Peter 5:9, he says, be strong, resist Satan, and be strong, solid, stereo, with respect to the faith, knowing that such hardships and sufferings happen to all the brotherhood in the world. Resist him. Stand firm. Be solid in the faith, in your trust in Christ. Because your task, if you can even use that word, our function in this life is to stand. Stand firm. Trust Him. Like we studied this morning from the Gospel of Luke, and it is such a joy to be able to go through a gospel all the time and be constantly ministered to by the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ, of who He is. And He calls on us to trust Him, the one who is the authority over all things and is in control over all things. He's our anchor. He's our rock. He is our fortress. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul used the word stand, same word, to use resistance, same word as 1 Peter 5:9. But he said, having put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God is on you in order for you to be able to resist the devil. Stand against him. James 4:7, James says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're not called to fight him. He's already been defeated. But he likes to cause a lot of fuss and a lot of distraction, a lot of noise, to get our attention away from Jesus Christ and our trust in him. So stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in your trust in Christ. Not just today and tomorrow, but as you know, Satan has a tendency to try to wear us down. We might trust the Lord today. We might trust Him tomorrow. We might trust Him through next week. But what about next month? What about throughout the year? If Satan continually brings things our way to wear us down. The word persecution in Greek, dioko, means to pursue or to chase. Satan chases God's people. Have you ever felt like you're being chased mentally, emotionally? Like you're on the run and you're trying to find the Lord, you're trying to find that shelter, trying to find... That's what Satan does. Psychologically and emotionally, he chases us. And yet the message of God's Word is resist him, stand firm in the faith, in your trust in Christ. The third command in verse 13. Be men. Obviously, this is for the male gender. Act like men. It's a word that has to do with courage. Face life with courage like men are supposed to. Only the courage comes in standing firm and continually watching. Stand firm in Christ. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 echoes the very same message. God told Joshua, "Face life with courage, for I am with you wherever you go. You meditate in my law day and night, and I'll be with you wherever you go." So he was to meditate in the law day and night to keep that awareness and to keep that sensitivity and keep that focus on God, who is the one who is with him, to give him courage. God told Joshua, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I'll be with you wherever you go." Face life with courage. There's ever been a time for the men, the heads of the families, and for the men to face life with courage, it's now. To follow Christ, to stand firm in the things of the Lord, and to be constantly on watch and on guard. The fourth command in verse 13, be strengthened. That's the literal translation, because it's in the passive voice, which means be the recipient of the strength. Be strengthened. These are all commands, all imperative moods. The word for strength is the word kratos. There are many different words for strength. Sthenos is one of those, physical strength. This is kratos, and it's the Greek word for grip. Same word that Paul used in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God and be empowered with the Lord and the grip of His strength. He pictured believers as being that element inside the grip of Christ. The Lord's grip is upon us. We are to draw off of the strength of the grip that has us. So our dependency is on His hand and the strength of His hand to keep us. Jesus said, "No one will take you out of my hand." I can't keep myself in Christ. I don't have that spiritual ability or human strength or spiritual strength. It is God's grip on me. It is His strength. He wants me to draw off of the strength of the grip. And I find myself most of the time fighting against His grip. I want to wiggle free. I want to get out there and do something, or run away, or fight, or do something emotionally, psychologically, circumstantially. We get moved all over the place. Just stand firm. Face life with courage. Draw off of the strength, the grip of Christ, the Almighty God. The fifth command in verse 14, let everything that you do be done in love. Agape love. One of the main themes this week in some of our fellowship. Somebody was talking to me about learning Greek and how it comes across. You know, people are critical and people are cynical about learning Greek. And some people get turned off because they don't sense a spiritual concern and care, a love. Paul says that no matter what we have or what we know, what we understand about the things of Christ, if it is not motivated by and grounded in agape love, concern for people's spiritual welfare, it'll come across in the wrong way. Let everything that you do, he says in command, be done in love, in agape. Verses 15 through 18, the five commendations. First of all, he talks about Stephanus. He says, he starts off this section by saying, "I want to encourage you." His first commendation or recommendation is that of the household of Stephanus. They were the first fruits of Achaia, which is Asia Minor. And he's using them as an example. He says, "You know how that they appointed themselves as ministers to the saints, for service to the saints." The word service, again, is the word diakonos, for waiter. They devoted themselves. The old King James says they addicted themselves. But they appointed themselves for service to the saints. So his first commendation is that of the household of Stephanus as the example. First fruits just means the first of the harvest, and so Stephanus and his household was the first one to be saved there in Asia Minor. And he and his household came to have the reputation of helping and serving the saints. They devoted themselves to it constantly, day and night, night and day. His second commendation was, submit yourselves to such ones. Anybody who is like the household of Stephanus, anyone devoted to, anyone that has submitted themselves and laid down their lives for service to the saints, he says, submit to such ones. Thirdly, and to everyone who is joining in the work and laboring. Two participles there. Again, the word labor is the word to work to the point of exhaustion. Everyone who is joining in the work with Stephanus and Paul and all of those that God has raised up that labor to the point of exhaustion night and day. He says, submit yourselves. Join yourselves to these kinds of people who serve the Lord day and night. The fourth, he was thankful for Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus coming to him. He was in Ephesus at the time of this writing. He says, because they supplied what was lacking. The word lacking can also mean absence. Your absence or what was lacking of the things of you. What you could not supply to me because I'm here in Ephesus and you're in Corinth. These three brothers, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, came to Paul and ministered to him those things that he was lacking and needed by way of personal help and by way of ministry. And he was commending them for that great blessing to him. And then verse 18, the fifth commendation. Therefore, in summary statement, acknowledge such ones. He's talking about all of these people. Whether it be Stephanus and his household, whether it be Fortunatus, Achaicus, all of those who are laboring, all of those who are joining in the work. Acknowledge such ones in your walk with Christ. Submit to some such ones in your walk with Christ. Verses 19 through 24, the five things in conclusion, all with the word greeting. He says, all of the churches in Asia are greeting you. Secondly, Aquila and Priscilla are greeting you much in the Lord. I love to do studies on some of these people that Paul is mentioning. They're not just names. These are people that, of course, are close to Paul. They have such tremendous significance in the Scriptures. Priscilla and Aquila were in Rome, and they received Christ in Rome. But the edict from Rome and the territory of Rome was that all Christians must leave. And they left and they came to Corinth. They were tent makers. And while in Corinth, they picked up the job of making tents, not knowing why they were there or what was going to happen, just trusting the Lord. And of course, while they were making tents, they met up with Paul, who also was a tent maker. Probably down at the tent maker union, going down and getting their canvas and getting their supplies. And Paul and Aquila and Priscilla hooked up and had fellowship together, and they started actually church in their home there in Corinth. And he also commends them here and says, Aquila and Priscilla, with the church that is in their home, they greet you much in the Lord. Everywhere that Aquila and Priscilla went, they had the church in their home. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it or not. I'm sure that you've heard it somewhere down the line. Church, the early church, the beginning church, did not meet in buildings like this, nor was it the synagogue. Is that Jews actually went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and then on Sunday, the Christians met in homes. And they went over the teachings of Jesus, and they had fellowship together, and they got to know each other, and what the needs are, and how things are going this week, and let's meet for prayer, and what can we pray for this week, and what are the needs this week. They were actually a family in the Lord, and the early church met in homes. There was no organization, there was no system. It was the church. Actually, the word church means assembly or called out ones. It's the name of people, not a building or an organization. That's what the biblical church is. The biblical church is a family of believers worldwide. There's no such thing as a Sisquoc Community Church in the Bible, nor will there be in the kingdom of heaven. I always think of those. I always had dreams of those political conventions, you know, when they have the Democratic and Republican conventions, and they have the signs, you know, Illinois, you know, and they stand there and got all the delegation from Illinois. And when I was a young Christian, I got to wonder, is there going to be something like L.A.? Or how about Sisquoc? A little pocket of believers sitting over by the wall. Sisquoc sign. No, the church is the body of Christ universal. It's people. It's not an organization. It's a family of believers, all of those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they're children of the Lord. And so Aquila and Priscilla greeted them much in the Lord. Here's a husband and wife team that just every city that they went to, they had the church of that city in their home. What a tremendous couple. Thirdly, all of the brothers greet you. He's not just making up something to say in order to sign off. There was actually an affection, there was actually a spiritual concern in the body of Christ for one another. And the thing that amazes me and affects me is that we're talking between Ephesus and Corinth. We're talking about people that some of the brothers there in Ephesus had never met before, but had heard there's brothers and sisters over in Corinth. Here's what's going on in their church. And they cared about them. And they said, send our greetings as well. We have trouble just identifying and being sensitive to our brothers and sisters that we sit next to at any given time. But here was an actual family affection and a spiritual concern amongst believers because of the hardships. Remember, as this chapter opened, as we saw last week, that there was a collection taken up for the saints in Jerusalem. Paul didn't want to raise money. Paul wanted them to participate with other Christians who were in need and had the need, that participation and that fellowship together, taking care of one another. And we have trouble because we play church so much that we lose our sensitivity to the fact that the church is made up of people that belong to Jesus Christ. And the Lord is going to allow and even create need within the body of Christ so that we might be like the house of Stephanus, devote ourselves to the service for service to the saints. That's really what it is all about. Fourthly, in verse 20, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, we're not going to practice this morning. There's been much debate and actual question. Fulfillment right there. Debate and question as to what actually this means. Well, in the Middle East, this was the traditional expression like our handshake or like our hug. And you might have seen it in the news as they show a film of the Middle East section, even men greeting men by kissing each other on the cheek. This was the traditional greeting in that area. And it's the same with the area of Paul. It is equivalent to our handshake or to our hug. It is a warm greeting, to greet one another with a holy kiss. That is what they practiced there. It is a holy kiss. It is not a physical kiss, not meant to be in a physical expression of affection. But in the Middle East, even as they practice today, it is an expression of greeting. Fifthly, in verse 21, he says, my salutation, my sign-off is with my own hand, Paul. Paul dictated his letters. But here, in order to express to the believers his affection for them and his love for them, he takes the pen himself and signs a greeting with his own hand and saying, you see, a sign off to you from Paul with mine own hand, so that there's something personal about it. He's expressing his affection and his love for them. Three things in signing off. Verse 22, he says, if anybody does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, and again the word love is the word phileo, if anyone does not have affection for the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an offering of curse. Maranatha is how it's pronounced. And the Lord has come or is coming. And so Paul, very expressive in his remarks about a person's relationship with Jesus Christ, loving him with your whole heart. If anybody does not have affection for the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. The Lord is coming. Verse 23, as I pointed out to you, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, factual, is with you. It is not a wish. It is not a prayer. It is a factual statement that even we need to take it seriously. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Wherever you go, ministering to you. So even as we sign off today and we leave each other's presence, that's the message of God's Word, is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you and is with you wherever you go. And thirdly, in verse 24, Paul says, and my love is with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. The word amen is from the Hebrew word amen that means so be it. Of a truth. Paul says, my concern for your spiritual welfare in Jesus Christ is with you all. You sense, at least I hope you do, I hope the scriptures are not so presented in such a sterile way that you don't sense the relationship that these Christians had with one another. The love, the affection, the concern about their spiritual welfare, how Christians would pray for believers in other parts of the world and had a genuine concern for them. And the household of Stephanas is the example. They've devoted themselves. They've addicted themselves. They have appointed themselves for service to the saints. So for us, for the sensitivity, for that spiritual welfare, for the affection for Christ, for God's people, that is our prayer today, that the Lord would melt our hearts, the Lord would soften our hearts, that in everything that we do, it would be done in love. It would be done with a concern for people's spiritual welfare, even to the sacrifice of our own lives, even to the sacrifice of what we want out of life, as long as others have the priority in their benefit in coming to know Christ and walking with Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we stop to thank you for the glorious privilege we've had of going through this letter of 1 Corinthians and in anticipation of the great time we're going to have in 2 Corinthians. But we sense within our hearts, within our minds, under the direction of your Spirit through your Word, the relationship that the early believers had in the early church with their Lord Jesus Christ. He was very personal. They had such an affection for Him and such a spiritual concern for those around them. We pray that you'd create that in our hearts. We have such a tendency to be so focused on ourselves, so self-absorbed. And yet Satan would distract us, occupy the attention of our minds away from what's happening around us, to the people around us, as well as learning of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that you deliver us from ourselves and our own self-centeredness. We pray that you'd create in us a sensitive heart, both for Christ and for people. We pray that we might spend our days like the household of Stephanus, devoted, addicted for the service to the saints, that Christ might be magnified as we learn about Him, and Christ might be seen, and Christ might be experienced as we fellowship with one another. May we be watchful. May we stand firm in the faith. May we face life with courage. May we trust in and draw off of the strength of the grip of Christ. And may everything that we do be done in love, concern for people's spiritual welfare. Lord, You're the only one that can create these things in us. But help us to be alert and watchful and sensitive to these areas as we live our daily life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.